You're listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. This is a podcast to help you homeschool simply, inexpensively, and enjoyably. I'm Rachel Winchester, a fellow homeschool mom using this method with my own three children. In this episode, I talk with Becca Goodpaster, a homeschool mom in Wisconsin, about how her family persevered during a really difficult season of joblessness. We hope it will encourage you as you continue to homeschool through your own crises and seasons of transition. Before we jump into the episode, I want to tell you about CTC Math. Have you tried many different math programs and none of them seem to work for your family? Lots of Homeschool Made Simple families have tried CTC Math and found it to be a great fit for their family. With short lessons that encourage practice after bite-sized instruction, CTC Math helps kids have success experiences in math from kindergarten through 12th grade. Try CTC Math for free for 1 week at ctcmath.com or through the link in the show notes. Now let's get into the episode. Today, I have the joy of being joined by Becca Goodpaster, a homeschool mom in Wisconsin, who's been a longtime Homeschool Made Simple family and follower. And so we're excited to have her on the podcast today against all odds of technology and to hear her story. So welcome to the podcast, Becca.
Thanks, Rachel, for having me.
Yeah. So you guys have been through some interesting and challenging times over the last few years. But before we jump into some of the specifics of your story, I wanted to hear about your family, where you guys live, and how many kids you have, and what sort of prompted you to start homeschooling in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. My family and I live in Western Wisconsin, just outside of the Twin Cities of Minnesota. My husband and I, we have five kids. The bookends are girls, ages 17 and 5. And then we have three boys in between. I think it's really fun to see how your children shape the kind of family you become. At my first baby shower, I was asked what literary family I thought we would have. And I just thought, hands down, I'm Marmee. We're going to have Little Women. And then the boys, they just kept coming. And now I find myself trying to mountain bike, careening down the side of a hill, and our daily driver is a monster van. So it's really not what I pictured, but God always, he always writes a better story. Mm. Yeah, homeschooling was another one of those things where I thought, I put it on my things I'm never, ever, ever going to do list, you know, and he humbles us with those things that we say we're never going to, and then we find ourselves doing that. But yeah, my husband and I, we both said public school, it was good for us. So it's going to be good enough for our kids. And I think that really shares where we, our ambition started. We're just aiming for good enough.
Yeah.
The Lord then called us to consider what was best for our family, as he often does. And so my oldest, she has an August birthday, and she was going to be a newly minted five-year-old, sending her off to kindergarten. And I just really was not ready to send off my best bud to school. I didn't want to lose her. Minnesota, we lived in Minnesota at the time, and compulsory school starts at 7. So we had some friends encourage us, just keep her home. See, what's the worst that can happen? And so we tried this radical idea of homeschooling. And we picked up this delightful little curriculum called Five in a Row. Yeah. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, I've heard
of it. Okay. I loved it. We read the same book 5 days in a row, and it could make me cry. Like, we just snuggled, and we read, we cooked together, and we were learning together. And I thought, oh, you're not going back for kindergarten. Like, we're keeping you home, and we're going to start doing this together. And it formed our kids' character and our family culture in ways we never could have imagined. And we've never looked back.
That's so lovely.
Yeah.
So lovely to, I think, you know, sometimes you hear people talk about like the regret they have with the way they raised their kids and things, and no one's perfect. So I'm sure we all will look back and, you know, wish we had done this or that differently. But I think one thing that homeschooling really gives us the gift of is not looking back and saying, I wish I had been there more.
Absolutely.
And that you can know, like, I was there.
I was there. I wasn't perfect. I didn't do everything right, but I was at least present, you know? And I think that is really a comfort. And such sweetness too, that like, just like you said, that brings you to tears to think about and remember those tender moments that don't ever come back. You know, you never get that 5-year-old version of your kid again. That was it. And so you got to share those moments. And we both have 5-year-olds now. So we can see that, you know, like, oh my goodness, this was you, you know, your oldest 12 years ago. That was your oldest. So,
oh my goodness.
That's so sweet. So yeah, today I wanted to get into a difficult season that your family went through. I don't know how many years ago this was for you, so maybe you can share that with us. But sure. Maybe just talk about like that difficult season, what of joblessness for your husband, and kind of describe what happened during that time.
Yeah. First, I'll start with the fact that my husband, he worked for an out of state employer during the pandemic, and it was such a beautiful season for us. It was so good to have daddy home. Daddy didn't have to get ready for work and commute in and, you know, wearing his fancy clothes that, you know, just worry about kids touching your grape jelly hands. That wasn't happening. And daddy was home. And we heard that from so many families too, just that it was so good. And my heart just kept thinking of Malachi 4, of fathers' hearts being turned back to their kids. But then attitudes towards remote work kind of changed a little. And his employer called everyone back to the office, and relocation wasn't possible for us, so he got laid off. And so this was 2024, so we're coming up on 2 years of that time. And from the very beginning, we just felt the Lord calling us to faith, to just remember that he had never failed to provide for us. It just wasn't going to be his first time letting us down. We weren't worried right away.
I think some families might come to a season like that and automatically think, oh, we need to change our lives. We need to send the kids to school so mom can work. And, you know, each family obviously has to navigate it themselves. But like, how did you and your husband kind of navigate that decision of, okay, we're not going to just radically change everything and just kind of get into a tailspin and send the kids to school and do all that kind of stuff? Like, kind of how did you decide, okay, we're just going to keep this as it is and just trust that, you know, we're not going to run out of money or food before, you know, he finds another job, or, you know, just kind of that whole process. I'm sure that was scary.
It didn't cross our minds a ton, as often as you might expect. We didn't feel compelled to shake up what we had already committed to in our home. Our children, they were thriving with both of us present. And that felt like something we really needed to protect. So he knew that we were just committed to me staying home, and I would continue to educate the kids. But like you said, it didn't mean that we didn't make radical changes. We really did. And they just didn't look like me heading back to work. And we did things like planting a garden and hunting for game, hunting deer and other small animals. And it was just, it looked a little bit like returning to older rhythms of provision and stewardship in our home. And just reminding ourselves that we weren't homeschooling as a lifestyle preference, but it was something we had already chosen to do. And so we weren't just looking for a way to get income. We were asking ourselves, how do we change everything else to protect what we believe that God was calling us to?
Rachel Winchester here to share a wonderful series of books from Crossway Publishing that will help your little ones gain a deep picture of who God is as the one who cares for us. Kristen Wetherill has written the For the Bible Tells Me So series of board books illustrated by Grace Habib. These vibrantly colored books will teach your child foundational truths about the God who is their maker and the one who takes care of them. Written in rhyming verse, it is sure to charm the young children in your family. You can pick up the whole series wherever books are sold or visit crossway.org/thebibletellsmeso to learn how to get 30% off with a free Crossway Plus account. Now back to the show.
And I think maybe too, it kind of starts to get at maybe a myth that could be out there that just, oh, you can homeschool if you have, you know, these securities lined up or something. You know, I think about when my husband and I decided that I would stay home with our children, like, you know, when I was pregnant with our first son. And I was just telling a friend this the other day. It was not because the bank account, like, because we looked at the budget right. and said, oh, yeah, this makes perfect sense. You know, it actually created a gap that we needed the Lord to fill. And then he miraculously did in a totally, you know, a way yeah. that would have not been on the radar at all, you know, where the company that my husband worked for at that time did raises across the board to make sure that their, you know, employees in this position that my husband was in were like equally compensated. And it's just like, God can do that. He can do all kinds of things. And the king's heart is like water in his hand. So
absolutely.
I just think sometimes we get fearful and then we don't leave space for faith to then say, you know, there's going to be a cost. Like you said, you know, you had to take radical steps in other ways of how can we save costs or have food more inexpensively and be more self-sufficient in that way, which is a wonderful skill to then develop. You know, that's not a bad thing at all to have a garden or to be able to hunt and provide for your family in that way. That actually then creates new opportunities that you probably maybe either took for granted or just didn't have to do before. So you didn't do them, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. We said that we lost financial certainty, but we gained a front row seat to God's sufficiency. And that was just something that we could not have bought on our own. we couldn't have paid for that opportunity to just see how God was shaping our family more than any curriculum or school ever could. It was incredible to see the way that he provided for us.
Yeah. Yeah. What were some of the opportunities that your kids may not have had otherwise? Did you guys, did they have chances to do things that they might not have before?
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of the coolest things that we did at this time that our kids saw was working with a friend who's a home contractor. He hired my husband on a construction site. He invited our 14-year-old son to come along with. And again, we just could not have paid for a better education for him.
Yeah.
It was incredible. My son learned some really, really cool and helpful things. And right now I'm scheming for him to remodel our bathroom because he has those skills now. It's really cool. But I think like one of those, the sweetest moments in that was just that my son could watch his daddy, who had worked a white collar job for decades, do some manual labor. And he did it with dignity. And my son wasn't just reading about those character traits of diligence and perseverance. But he was watching that built real time with his daddy. And that knit them together, and it matured my son in ways that we could not have imagined.
Yeah, I think maybe sometimes parents, we can feel the need to insulate our kids from hardship. And, you know, there is an appropriate way of, you know, preserving a child in a sense, especially when they're younger and things. But then especially as they're becoming teens and not where he had the burden to provide for the family, but where the hardship allowed that pressing on him and his character that may not have come otherwise or would have been difficult to manufacture in other ways, you know.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And I think, too, just living in community, especially in a church, the family of God, we learned to just bring our needs to the community. And everybody knew what we were facing. Our church, we always have food at every gathering. And so often we would be sent home with leftovers. It was really good. People gave us grocery gift cards. Again, we had some friends who hunt and garden, and they just filled up our freezer with food. And we knew how much sweat labor went into that. So it just made our hearts swell with, humility. It was incredible. We had friends who took our kids skiing, and lift tickets are not cheap. So yeah. Take multiple kids skiing was a really big gift. And it was really sweet to see the community knit together in ways that wouldn't have happened had we not brought our needs to them.
Mm. Yeah. Was that difficult to share your needs with them? Or, you know, I feel like some people could not want to do that because they want to. Sure.
Yeah. We want to be proud. We want to be self-sufficient. And we just kept remembering God telling us too that his power was made known in weakness, and to bring our weakness to the community. Just it really allowed them an opportunity to serve and to show up and to know that they can meet needs too. Mm-hmm. And I think we steal a lot from the church community, the church body, when we don't share our heart and our needs with them.
Mm, absolutely. So I feel like this is kind of similar to when you have a baby, because it's not exactly the same, but it just the transitional times that you go through as you're homeschooling. And I feel like sometimes, you know, when people have a baby, and you've had a baby while you were homeschooling, you know, I guess your daughter was 12 and stuff. So you were probably feeling like, okay, she's like getting older. I really need to be amping things up. And here I am having a baby and I have to take care of the newborn and everything. Did you feel tension around that when your youngest was a baby?
Absolutely. With each baby that we added to the family, I felt like I was always saying, the baby is the lesson. The baby. So we're going to pause and let the baby be the lesson. Mm. And honestly, that 2020 baby, she still is a lesson. she keeps us on our toes more than we thought possible. But when life is in that transition, I think homeschooling just allows us a lot of flexibility. It's very living. We can slow down. We can adjust our expectations, and we can treat those interruptions of the little people as learning rather than as obstacles to the learning. Yeah, the baby isn't something to be worked around. Like she was part of the education. She was the lesson. And I just saw my big kids learn, and they continue to learn patience and service to the little ones, and just how to be flexible. And I think with all the needs that's happening in this big family, they're learning how to strive for joy in the midst of chaos.
Yeah.
No, that's just the thing. Like traditional schooling, I think it isolates learning from life. But homeschooling, like, it does the opposite. It integrates learning into life. So when life shifts, I think schooling just shifts with it.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's not like your kids stopped learning, and when it's so simple, when your approach to education is so simple, like you can keep reading books together. It's so low, easy to access. Yeah. It's on the bottom shelf. So you can just grab the book and read while the baby naps on your chest or naps in the big sister's arms or whatever. And you can fold clothes together and you know, it's more of that. Probably the commitments outside really have to restrict. And maybe that's where people feel like, oh, I'm withholding these things for my kids because I can't run around and take them to all the things that activities that maybe I would do if I didn't have a baby. But that's really focusing on, you know, I've heard Carol say, you know, the most important thing you're teaching your children is how to be parents and how to take care of children, like you just said. And that really is such a valuable lesson. There's so many grown adults who have never held a baby, never changed a diaper, never calmed a baby down when they're crying or played with them or, you know, bonded with them in such simple ways. It seems so basic, but it's so formational to do that with a baby and to just naturally love a little child.
Right. And then you see that child grow up and you've gotten to spend their whole life together. Mm-hmm. It's really sweet to see these families knit together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what is maybe the biggest fruit you've seen in your family from continuing to homeschool when maybe it didn't, you know, quote, make sense to do so?
Oh, this is a fun one. I really think that the biggest fruit has been a resilient family culture. Mm. We've built a culture that knows how to stay together under pressure. And just looking back at our family history, you just see there's so many seasons where homeschooling didn't make sense. It didn't look logical or good on paper. Unemployment and just, yeah, the large family chaos. And we've had hospitalizations in our past. And I mean, emotional fatigue for mama. Mm-hmm. And I just think it would have been easy to outsource some of our education just to survive. And I'm not going to fault anyone for doing that, but staying in it, staying committed to homeschooling, our family rhythm stayed intact. And it just gave us that shared suffering and shared joy together. Mm. I think the fruit is that our kids, they know who we are. They know who they are as good pastors. And they're growing in knowing who their God is. And I think that relational and spiritual formation is just so priceless. It's really that fruit that, Lord willing, will echo across generations.
Mm-hmm. That's so awesome. Yeah. Begin with the end in mind. You're not just living for this moment, this year, even just these kids. You're living for generations to come. Mm-hmm. And your faithfulness, you're continuing to do what the Lord's put on your heart to do and to give your kids that strong family culture is really going to echo out and have effects that you can't even imagine, which is so cool.
It's exciting.
It is. Very. Well, Becca, would you mind praying for other families who might be in difficult seasons and continuing to homeschool? Would you pray for them?
Yeah, absolutely. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are always present and that you use all of our seasons. These hard seasons, they don't disqualify us from the work that you have set before us to homeschool. You are using them. We know that we don't need stability or money or perfect health or even emotional margin before we do this work, but that you promise to form us through our weakness and through ordinary faithfulness and through our daily obedience that feels really small. We thank you that you promise to make much out of our loaves and fishes that we offer to you. And I pray that you would do so. And we just pray that you would continue to strengthen other families to this hope to which they have been called. And we look forward to bearing fruit and seeing the fruit in other families, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or share this episode with a friend. It means so much when you help us spread the message of Homeschool Made Simple with others. Thanks for joining us this week on the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. Remember, Jesus' commandments are not burdensome. What he calls you to do, he will enable you to do. Blessings.